Well, we have kickoff in the most watched sporting competition on earth, co-hosted by Mexico, Canada and the United States. The first 48-nation FIFA World Cup has burst to life this morning with host nation Mexico defeating South Africa 2-0 in the opening match.
With five. That's a great ball. Jimenez! Just look what it means to everyone inside this iconic stadium. A whole celebration with the bench.
Some of the commentary there from SBS and some of the sounds from the Azteca Stadium in Mexico City. Well, Tariq Panja is global sports correspondent at the New York Times. He's been following the FIFA World Cup very closely and reports on the intersection of football and politics. He joined me earlier from Mexico City. Tariq, welcome to Radio National Breakfast.
Thanks for having me.
Iran, tickets, visas were some of the keywords in the FIFA president's press conference. So what stood out most to you?
He stood out as being defiant in a way. There's never been a World Cup host at war with one of the participants. So this is a first. And that's been a major issue, and it remains one as long as Iran are at the tournament. To be honest, he basically said only FIFA could have managed to pull this off, i.e. having Iran here, basically gave himself a big pat on the back and said he'd told the Iranians when he went to see them at a training camp in Turkey that if he had to, he'd drive them on a bus from Tehran to be at the World Cup. Yeah, I don't know about that. He gave himself a lot of praise. And on the ticket prices, this has been the backdrop to this World Cup from a fan perspective. The eye-wateringly expensive prices of World Cup tickets, from the hundreds of dollars to the several thousands of dollars, well out of the reach of normal people. And he went on to the tried and tested line that, well, this is what the market can sustain in the United States. It's the local conditions you have to adapt to. And the fact that the US has a secondary market, and if FIFA had sold them for a lower price, it would be the scalpers making big profits. And he justified it by also saying that most of FIFA's money goes to develop soccer around the world, i.e. the sport wouldn't be developed if it didn't raise this money. Again, that's quite questionable. FIFA has, if anything, too much money.
Tariq, it's very common for political stories to accompany a football World Cup. What's different this time in the intensity of those stories?
It's extremely intense. Like I said, there's a host nation at war, so that is one. And then on the other hand, is the posture of one of the three host countries. So Mexico and Canada are co-hosting with the United States, and it is very Trump-inflected, this competition. He looms large over this World Cup, like he looms large over pretty much everything these days. And in terms of World Cup, it's the posture towards immigration, towards foreign people, and whether this celebration of the world can take place in a country that might not be as open to the world as it may have been in the past. And that is something that is clear and present. And we've seen that in the build-up to the World Cup, most recently with the fact that a FIFA referee from Somalia arrived in Miami and was promptly deported.
This was a highly respected Somali referee, Omar Abdul Qadir Artan. How embarrassing is this incident for FIFA and for the tournament's image? There's been a strong reaction, not only from Somalia, but particularly from other African nations.
It's hugely embarrassing because for FIFA and Infantino in particular, they've made a big play. They always make a big song and dance about how good they are for Africa. So whenever they get criticised, they say, well, this is, you know, a European or a Western view. Go and talk to people in Africa and they'll tell you how much good we've done. And here we are. You have the Omar Artan, who was named by the CAF, the Confederation of African Football, the governing body there, as the best referee on the continent only last year, being sent home. Now, is it bad for the reputation? Yes. But then I'll have to ask you, if you go, you know, in the street and ask, you know, what is FIFA's reputation? I don't know if it has got a great reputation to lose.
One of the many recent World Cup critics is Arsenal legend Ian Wright, who called this, quote, a World Cup of chaos. Has FIFA adequately addressed fan concerns around this tournament, in your view?
I get a sense that FIFA is quite far removed from the fan and the idea of a fan. FIFA is looking to maximize its income in the world's biggest marketplace. The United States offers the chance of a cash bonanza, and you get a sense FIFA's kind of been blinded by this. The fans, especially those coming from overseas, they'll have to spend thousands of dollars. And even like in the United States, whether you've got a young family, to inculcate kids, to grow soccer, to make it a thing in the US, wouldn't it be nice for families to take their children to go and watch these World Cup games? Now, that is out of the reach for a lot of people. And then on the other hand, I'm talking to federation officials and members of the public from different parts of the world who've simply been unable to obtain visas to go and follow their teams. I was talking to the Jordanians just yesterday, and the family members of the players who are at the World Cup, the pinnacle. Can you imagine being a Jordanian at the World Cup? You can believe it. First time entrance there. Their family members can't go. I think the entire supporter group of Jordan, not very big, mind you, was rejected for visas as well. It's just a bit gloomy. The World Cup is supposed to be this thing that brings so much joy and excitement, but the build-up to this has been extremely kind of negative in different aspects. And FIFA will be hoping that once the ball starts rolling, a lot of this will be forgotten and the excitement might return.
What does this World Cup finally tell us about the state of football in 2026, Tariq?
What it does tell us, it also confirms that it's enthralled to money, that money is the kind of guiding principle. And you can see that in maybe the top European club football. But here you have the governing body that is responsible for the health of the game, again, that is driven by money. And also it feels like this is a shift to luxury product, a shift to something for the elite that is being taken away from, I guess, regular people, whether they are, you know, in the host countries or elsewhere. I was in Argentina, and these fans have lit up the last few tournaments I've been to. I don't know how they get there. They scrimp and save in their tens of thousands. And this joy, this colour, the pageantry could be lost.
Tariq, thank you very much for making some time. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
It's Tariq Panja there. A pretty good job, isn't it? Global sports correspondent at the New York Times, joining me from Mexico City.